No matter how bad the world gets, we've always figured there was a good God out there, somewhere. Despite tragedies and terrorists and the Oklahoma City bombing, all evil things, God was still the ultimate source of goodness. But is he really? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, this is Kenneth Richards. Today, Lonnie Melashenko explores a most fundamental question. Is God as good as they say? At the close of his message, we'll have a special book that's our free gift to every listener. So have a pencil ready. Right now, let's join Lonnie for part two of Your Most Radical Decision.
God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen.
How would you feel if you had spent your entire life devoted to the cause of communism and then at the very end saw the movement fall apart before your very eyes? For hundreds of thousands of true believers, that was their very experience. Jeannie and I have made several trips to the former Soviet Union, and I personally met a number of old, tired, discouraged Russians who had made the communist movement their life's work. They'd given everything, 70 years of devotion to the cause that turned out to be an empty hoax. What they thought to be good had turned not just into evil, but into their worst nightmare. C.S. Lewis describes a parallel experience for Christians. What if you spend your whole life striving to get to know God, and then God doesn't turn out to be what we would call good? In his novel, Perelandra, he describes a fictional encounter with heavenly creatures and how terrifying it was. And then he writes this. This is a very terrible experience. As long as what you are afraid of is evil, you may still hope that the good may come to your rescue. But suppose you struggle through to the good and find that it also is dreadful. How if food itself turns out to be the very thing you can't eat, and home the very place you can't live, and your very comforter the person who makes you uncomfortable? Then indeed there is no rescue possible. The last card has been played. Friend, yesterday I shared with you that we were beginning a 5-week adventure called Your Most Radical Decision. And that getting to know God is the most important thing in your life and in my life. Borrowing from Green Bay Packer coach Vince Lombardi, knowing God isn't everything. It's the only thing. So obviously this radio ministry is built on the premise, the conviction that God is indeed good. God is good. To know him is good. That lifelong search ends well, not in disaster. Knowing God brings fulfillment, not disillusionment. That's the foundation of 65 years of Voice of Prophecy broadcasting. In fact, that's the core pillar of HMS Richards' life and his son's life and my life. Jeannie and I stake our lives, our existence, our everything on the belief that God is good. Now, in the same book I quoted from yesterday, The Knowledge of the Holy, author A.W. Tozer writes this, and I'm quoting, that God is good is taught or implied on every page of the Bible and must be received as an article of faith as impregnable as the throne of God. It is a foundation stone for all sound thought about God and is necessary to moral sanity. To allow that God could be other than good is to deny the validity of all thought and end in the negation of every moral judgment. If God is not good, then there can be no distinction between kindness and cruelty, and heaven can be hell and hell heaven. Now here's just a bit more. The goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings he daily bestows upon us. Well, friend, every journey must start somewhere. We start our trip accepting, in theory, that God is good, and that getting to know him is important. But if you're not yet ready to accept that premise, I'd invite you to come with us anyway and see what the journey reveals to you. How do we get to know God? What are some of the ways of seeing him? I just looked at a reproduction of the Michelangelo painting, Creation of Adam. God is a man with a big beard, evidently reaching out with his hand to touch the finger of newly created Adam. Is that God? My pastor friend Morris Vinden, in his classic book, To Know God, A Five-Day Plan, describes several of the avenues where we can catch glimpses of God. Nature is one, he suggests. So many things in the world around us show a picture of God. A starry night, the pounding surf out here in the Pacific Ocean, the beauty spots of our planet, Lake Louise up in Canada, the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, a splendid November sunset over Miami Beach. Maybe even a quiet summer night on your own back porch with the sound of crickets and fireflies dancing about in the growing darkness. In Psalm 19:1, King David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." My brothers and I always treasured seeing God in the out-of-doors, hiking through Yosemite or camping trips on our way to our beloved Saskatchewan. I've got to confess that I can even see God when I'm out there on the golf course with my dad. The vast expanses of beautiful green grass on the fairway, the little lake over there on hole number 11, the white sand in the sand trap, hopefully my ball isn't in there too often, and the blue sky with just a cloud or two way off in the distance. Friend, that's almost heaven for me, and I sense the love and goodness of God in providing such beauty. But, as Vinden points out, nature is an imperfect picture of God. We have flowers that die, animals that kill each other, garbage lying in the streets, cities in ruin. Nature, all by itself, doesn't show us all of God. What about human relationships, Vinden asks? Do they show us the love of God? Well, the Bible says God loves us like a parent loves his or her children. The prophet Isaiah, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" There's no clearer picture of the tender love of God than a mom nursing her little baby. And how about dad? You know, friend, I see a lot of the good character of God in my own dad, Joe Melashenko, and my brothers, Jody, Dallas, Eugene, and Rudy, feel the same way. But human relationships, too, are a tragically imperfect revelation of God. What about Susan Smith, the mother who drowned her own two little boys last year there in South Carolina? What about husbands and wives who betray each other? In Vinden's book, he writes about a man in Madera, California, who beat his six-year-old daughter for half an hour because she wouldn't cry. Half an hour! And after that, she said, "Daddy, can I have a drink?" And then she died. He had beaten her to death. So, can a mother forget her sucking child? Yes, tragically she can forget. Here again, a partial, incomplete picture of God. Well then, how about God's Word itself? Does the Bible give us the full picture of God, the whole story? We're told that God is love, 1 John 4:8. He's slow to anger, Jonah 4:2. He delights in mercy, Micah 7:8. But there are a lot of hard things in the Bible too, aren't there? Stories of punishment and everlasting flames and whole nations being wiped out at God's specific command. Is God really good or not? Friend, the book of nature and the portrait of human relationships and even a surface reading of the 66 books in the Bible are all part of an incomplete mosaic. Yes, we see glimpses of God. There's a hint here and a reference there and a splash of color over around that corner. But there's only one place where we can get the full picture of what God is like. There's just one source of full truth, only one panoramic presentation that shows us all of God. And that is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this world. Because of the imperfection of all the other pictures of God, Jesus came to this world to reveal to us all of the goodness of God. Morris Vinden tells about a young man, a college student, who came to him one day and said, "I kind of like Jesus, but I don't like God." "Oh, why not?" "Because Jesus is kind, but God is stern and full of wrath." Friend, have you ever felt that way? Jesus is nice, and he spends most of his time trying to get God to like us. You know, even Jesus' disciples struggled with that idea. They thought to themselves, "Jesus, our master, is actually kind of nice, but I wonder what God is like." In fact, you can read where Philip comes out and asks Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." That's John chapter 14. And Jesus answers, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And Jesus goes right on through the next three verses, spelling out that he and God are just alike. If you know one, you know the other. If one is loving and generous, so is the other. If Jesus is good, God's got to be good too. Just to make sure this point is nailed down, Jesus really hits it clearly in chapter 10. 6 words. I and the Father are one. Friend, let me say something to you as clearly as I can. Nature's not a perfect picture. Human love and family relationships aren't a perfect picture. Even the Bible isn't the fullest revelation. But in the gift of Jesus Christ, God sent the very best picture he could. Jesus is the revelation of God's goodness. And listen, that means 2 things to me. First, if I want to know about God and to know God, the very best thing I can do is to get acquainted with Jesus. Spend time every day, 365 days a year, getting to know Jesus. I may look at snow-covered mountains and rainbows as well, but my best efforts, my daily efforts to know God, are going to be through the avenue of getting to know Jesus. If I know Jesus, I'll know God. Now here's my second point. We can't ever complain to God again. Why don't you reveal yourself? Show yourself to us. Give us a better picture. You see, friend, in the gift of Jesus, God has sent us the very best picture he can. He doesn't have a better one. We either have to get our impressions of God from this picture, or we're in deep trouble. God can't send down to this planet anything better. He's already mailed the very best. We said it yesterday. Knowing God isn't everything. It's the only thing. And now we know how it's got to be done. We spend time, quality time, looking at the best picture. Our Savior, Jesus.
That's right, Lonnie. He certainly is. Friend, we'd like to enhance that picture in your life by sharing with you a copy of Lonnie's new book, Your Most Radical Decision. Here's our address, The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. In Canada, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
Tomorrow, do you and I really need God? Our title, I'm Doing Just Fine, Thank You. Until then, this is Lonnie Melashenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend. Yes, God loves you.
Good doctor should know what he's talking about. He's the chief of adolescent medicine at the University of New Mexico Hospital in Albuquerque. But I think he's missed something. Talking about the limits of parental discipline, he said, "We do as much as we can. But in the face of 14,000 sexual messages kids see on TV every year, we have less control over our kids than we'd like or than our parents had over us. Society has changed. The TV set is like one giant peer group that we didn't really have growing up." I don't argue that TV exerts a powerful influence, but it is not inevitable that our children will see those 14,000 sexual messages. Those messages may be broadcast, but we are not helpless victims. Our children don't have to watch. We can turn it off, and if that doesn't work, we can get rid of the set. It is not inevitable that our children will be exposed daily to vivid images of sexual titillation. They do not have to see a murder a day. Moral pollution is like ultraviolet light. The amount of exposure is crucial, and parents can make choices. The off button and the dumpster both work. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.